This morning, we recognize the completion of the gospel. We celebrate the victory over death that Jesus has brought to everyone who believes. Which brings us to the question that Jesus asked, do we believe? Jesus' death and resurrection does not mean anything if we do not believe. It has no power. It has no power in your or my life if we do not believe. In John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus is speaking to Martha at the death of her brother Lazarus, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is a great statement that Jesus makes here. At this statement, Jesus is saying that he is God, God in the flesh. Back a couple of verses, if you turn with me to verse 21, starting at verse 21. Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last days. Martha had limited the power of Jesus. She forgot who Jesus was and what Jesus could accomplish. She believed that Jesus could have healed her brother if Jesus was present. But her faith was weak and did not believe that Jesus could have healed from a distance, like he did the Roman centurion healing his servant, or that he could have raised Lazarus from the dead. Martha's faith was weak. She forgot that the Son had life in himself. I look at my own faith and see how weak it is at times as well. I have faith that Jesus will save, that has saved me, and that he will carry me through. But I doubt him in the here and now with my daily problems or with my fears and anxieties. And Jesus telling Martha that he has power for the here and now, that he has life in himself. Turn with me to John 5. John 5, and starting at verse 24. This is Jesus speaking again, saying, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in me who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Jesus has been given life by the Father. Just as the Father has life in himself, they are one. We see the two beings of the triune God, both having life in themselves. And we know that the Holy Spirit, the third being, also has life, as the three speak as one. For it is the Spirit who gives life to all believers. In verse 25 of John 5, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who hear will live. What does Jesus mean when he says the hour is coming and now is? He is speaking to the present and to a future time. The time is now when Christ will give spiritual life. The hour is coming when he will raise the dead out of the grave. Those who are born again are already spiritually resurrected. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, Paul says, He, Jesus, made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power in the sons of disobedience. We all walked in this world according to the prince of the power. We all walked in the power of Satan, apart from God. But when we heard the gospel, or when the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of those who hear and those who are searching for life. They are resurrected spiritually to a new life. Turn with me to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, starting at verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, that is Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God in the flesh. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him, that is Jesus, you were also circumcised with him, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in the baptism. This is not the water baptism, but the spiritual baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in working of God, who raised him from the dead. Jeremy spoke on Friday that it was all three were in the resurrection of Jesus, that it was Jesus himself raised himself from the dead, God raised Jesus from the dead, and it was also the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. They all spoke as one. And here we see that God has raised Jesus from the dead, he's saying. But here, verse 13, it says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and this uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, that is God, having forgiven you all, trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, that is the debt that we must pay, that was against us, which is contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus has taken our sin debt and nailed it to the cross that we might have life through him. Not only is there life in Jesus himself, but there is life and power in his word, the Bible. The Bible has power to change lives from death to life. Jesus provided the way from death to life because he rose from the dead, never to die again. He provided a way for all who believe in him to follow. He has become the first fruits. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 20, it speaks of the first fruits. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all the rule of and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. At the Feast of the First Fruits, which follows Passover, and is part of the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, at the Feast of the First Fruits, the children of Israel would bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest as an offering. Leviticus 23, 9-11 says, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest. You shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be an acceptable on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. For the harvest to happen, the seed must be planted in the ground. And the seed cannot grow unless it is watered and has nutrients, and that will make it grow. And Jesus is our first fruits in that he died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again from the dead, and goes before the Father in his glory to present himself on our behalf. This is to be presented the day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week. Jesus rose from the dead the first day of the week, the Sunday, fulfilling the first fruits sacrifice. Jesus is our first fruits sacrifice, and we who believe in him are declared righteous on his merit. In Romans 11:16 says, If the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches, referring to the believers of Jesus. You see, when Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, he restored life to his old body. When Jesus called for Lazarus to come forth, he came out of the tomb in his grave clothes. When Jesus rose from the dead, he left his grave clothes in place in the tomb. Why? Because he was now glorified. They had to roll away the stone for Lazarus to come out of, so that Lazarus could come out. But in the case of Jesus, the stone was rolled away, that people could go in and witness that he was no longer in the tomb. It was empty. Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away. In his glorified body, he could have passed through the walls of the tomb. It was open for our benefit. What a great picture of salvation. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, dead to God, and now we are made alive to God in Christ, but we are still held back by our grave clothes. Paul says in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Jesus wants to free us from those grave clothes. Jesus said to those beside Lazarus once he came out of the grave, loose him and let him go. We are held back by these bodies, but we are promised a glorified bodies that will not fail or expire. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is calling us and asking us, do we believe? Martha responded in verse 27, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Do we believe? Jesus is at the door waiting. Are we seeking him? Knock, and the door will be open to you.